Almighty Father, we bless your holy name. We appreciate you. We give you praise. We give you thanks for making it possible for us to be here this morning. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Lord, even as we are about to go into your word, O Lord, we ask, O Lord, that you teach us from above, O Lord, in Jesus' name. We ask that the Holy Spirit will guide us, open our eyes to every of your word, O Lord, that we be doers of your word, not hearers, nor teachers, deceiving ourselves in Jesus' name. Father, we ask for more grace, that even as your word comes forth, O Lord, that will do us good in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. So today we'll be looking at God the Son, you know, part 4, his promises. So I think we all have our bulletin, so we just quickly look at the dictionary meaning of promise. Well, I look at the dictionary meaning of promise, and it says, a promise is a declaration that something will be done or not, you know. When you make promise, you declare that you are going to do something. So that is what it means when we say promise. When we promise, it's a declaration that we are going to do something, you know. I can promise to do something for you, you know, and I may not do it, but still I made the promise to do it or not to do it. And at one time in our life, we all make promise. It depends on us to make it to come to pass or not, but I can assure you this morning that there are some promises that we always come to pass. That is the promises of God concerning us, and it will always come to pass because whatever he says, he will do it. So it's a real privilege for us to know that, you know, the promises of God, they are yea and amen. And it's also important for us to know the promises, because even if we want to claim the promises and we don't know it, so that is why it is very important for us, even as we all run a very tight schedule, to separate time to look into the Bible to see what it says, because what you don't know, you cannot claim it. Even if it is your right and you don't know it, it will be very impossible to claim it, and God will help us in Jesus' name. It says, look at our hand that it says, in our previous discussion, we look at God the Son in the light of character. Today we'll be looking at, by his grace, look at his promises, you know. Just like I said, that the promise is a declaration that something will be done or not. And it depends on the person who is the promiser, you know. It depends on the integrity of the person. You know, I can promise to do something for you by the end of the service. I can change my mind. But I can assure you today that there's somebody who has promised to do you good and will never change his mind in Jesus' name. So what you need to do is just to hang on to the promises and watch it as it's come to pass. And God will bless us in Jesus' name. So number one here, we are going to look at the promise of liberty and freedom. So our first Bible passage here is the book of Leviticus chapter 25 verse 10. If you are there before me, you can read. Praise the Lord. You know, the promise of liberty and freedom. You know, year of Jubilee usually is celebrated every 50 years. And this is the process where everything will go back to the original plan. You know, original plan of God. Somebody who is in prison will be set free. Somebody, everything, you know, the slave, they will be sent back. So that is the promise. Even right from the Old Testament, look at the promises of God concerning us. That's going to give us freedom and liberty. The same thing applies to Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 7. It's a very popular one that we all know. Isaiah 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruin, and they shall rise up from former desolation, and they shall repair the ruined city and the desolation of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the son of your foreigner shall be plundered and your vine dresser. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. They shall call you the servant of God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Indeed, instead of your shame, you will have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. This is the promise of God for us. You know, if we look at it, it's very loaded. I'm just wondering why we cannot say amen. This is the promises of God. That's why I say it's very important for us to know, because if you don't know your rights, you cannot even claim it. So he said that we are going to have double portion of everything. Is that not wonderful? Yeah. Who can promise that? It's only God. If I promise to do something for you, I can't even promise you even half portion, because I'm a human being, I can change my mind. But he, when he say he's going to do something, ours is just by faith. Hold on to it, just like the woman with the issue of blood. Hold on to it and see what God will do. Let's look again in the New Testament. Let's look at John. We are still talking about liberty and freedom. John 8. We've seen promises right from the beginning, the Old Testament. So we are going to look at what it says in the New Testament. John 8, 35 to 36.
Abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? If the Son, you know, if Jesus said we are free, who can hold us into bondage anymore? Nobody, except ourselves. You know, the devil cannot, because what Jesus did, he came to destroy the work of the devil. So if God says, Jesus Christ now says we are free, who can hold us anymore into bondage, into sin? No, it's only ourselves. If we don't arise, you know, and take our rightful place, then we keep wallowing in sin. You know, and we can be set free. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's look at Colossians 2:14. We are still talking about the freedom and liberty. That's what God promised for us.
Contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Praise the Lord. The bottom line here is that, you know, we can enjoy new life in Christ. That is it. You know, all the things that the devil has brought, Jesus came and destroyed everything. And that enabled us to enjoy new life in him. So that's why I said it's very important for that what we are teaching this morning, or what we are hearing this morning, is very important. You know, the promises of God. If we don't know it, it will be sad, because that is the essence of our Christianity. That is the essence of us. Know who we are in Christ. And God will help us and open our inner eyes to see in Jesus' name. Let's look at number two. Say, promise of reign with the Father in eternity. So our Bible passage is John 14, 1 to 3. John 14. Praise the Lord. Say that we are going to reign with him. You know that he has gone to prepare a place for us. That is why, you know, at any time we are, as a Christian, we have to have this at the back of our mind, that this world we are, it's just a temporary place that we have, that he has gone to prepare a place for us. You know, it will be sad if Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for us, and we can't reign with Christ. You know, it's not his, it's our own problem. We have to walk. That is why the Bible says we should walk the walk work of our salvation with fear and tremble. And the Bible also says that every man, it didn't say every family, every church. So that is why we have to work very hard, because this Christian race, we know that here is not the end of it, that we are going to reign with him. You know, when we reign with him, there will be end to sorrow, there will be end to whatever we are facing here. Then we know we are going to live eternal life with him, and God will help us in Jesus' name. That we all reign with him. Let's look at Romans 15:17. Talking about the reign with him. Yes.
They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord, you know. He promised those who love him that, you know, that we are going to reign over sin, over death, over Satan, and attack and overcome every temptation, just like Jesus Christ himself did. That is his promise that he has given us. We know everything. Somebody was saying it in our school, that everything that Jesus did, that we have the authority to do it too. But what happened is that we don't have the faith, you know, and we don't have the boldness to do it, that every power has been given to us, just like Jesus Christ did. So let's look at the promise to answered prayer. That is point number 3. He has promised that when we call upon him, that he is going to answer us. So let's look at Psalm 4, verse 3. Praise the Lord. Though sometimes we know that even before we see anything, because God is our creator, you know, he created us, he knows each and every one of us even more than we do. But he himself, you know, he separated time to pray. So he's telling us that we should still pray, that he will answer. You understand? That's why the Bible talks about being in the attitude of prayer. Being in the attitude of prayer means that at any time you have to be right with God. Then that is why when you pray, the heavens will open. So that is it. He promised to answer our prayer. That is why. And the devil knows. All of us, every time we just dash out every day. We run a very tight schedule. I can say that sometimes we don't even open our Bible. We open it every Sunday. And the devil knows when you pray that God will answer. That's why he's using it against us. And if we don't know, we buy into it. You know, we've neglected our family altar, even personal evangelism, personal growth. You know, there's family altar and there's your own personal growing, studying the word of God. And when there are two things that can hinder our prayer. He has promised and he will never fail. He can't fail. It's impossible. Ours is to live right. And when we pray, be in the attitude of prayer. You know those things that we do, that we hinder prayers. We know them. So we keep away from them. And because he has promised that he will answer, that is why it is very important for us to pray. To pray, not the type of prayer that we do for 1 minute and we are tired. No. He wants us to set time aside and pray just like he did. And God will give us the grace in Jesus' name. Because I can assure us there's no end to all this thing we are pursuing. I've tried it and I've seen it. There's no end. You have to know what you believe and stand for your call. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's look at Mark 11:23-24. He has promised to answer our prayer.
Thou remove, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Praise the Lord. You know, mountains, we know what mountains represent. They represent obstacles. They represent sickness. They represent diseases. They represent infirmity. They represent, you know, misunderstanding in whatever way. Those are obstacles, you know. Those are mountains. If you don't pray, it's assuring us that if we pray, say to this mountain, whatever the mountains may be, ours is to open our mouth and pray. You know, sometimes people, you know, some people deceive themselves. I say, well, I've been in this situation for a long time. I've been praying. What type of prayer are you praying? Are you praying with faith? Is the prayer genuine? And God has not answered. It's very clear, and we all know that whatever he says he will do, he will surely do it. Let's look at James 5:16. James 5:16. praise the Lord. Say we should pray for one another. If there's something, you know, if there's something that, you know, any, just like I said, that we all know what will hinder our prayer, go and confess. You know, somebody this morning came to me. Yesterday we were expecting your call. That is good. It has been bothering her. And honestly, because to be honest, I was doing many things, and I think I'm going to see her this morning. So it didn't even occur to me to call her. Then she came. She, you know, it's very easy to just put it. And those are the little foxes that we hinder us. They'll say, okay, my sister, we are expecting your call yesterday. You didn't call over. Then I say, I'm sorry. Simple. You know, sometimes if we don't. If you don't go make an extra effort to ask sometime, we may be doing some things in error. That is why it's very important that we should confess to each another and pray for one another. You know, if you have grudges with Mr. A, how can you pray for him? You won't. You are not going to be in the best of that person's interest. That is why it's very important. If you have any doubt, if you have anything to clarify, clarify it and move on. And God will help us in Jesus' name, so that when we pray, God himself will answer. So let's look at number four. Say, promise to destroy the work of the devil. That is the mission. That is what Christ came to do, to destroy the work of the devil. We all know the mission statement of our Lord Jesus Christ, as stated in Isaiah 61, where we read, you know, and we know what the work of devil is. He has come to do three things. We all know, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So that is it. So Christ himself came to destroy the work of the devil. So let's look at Luke 4.
Gospel to the poor. Mm-hmm. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Praise the Lord. That is what we are called to do. You know, to destroy the work of the devil. The work of the devil is to keep us in bondage. You know, to keep us sinning, so that we'll not be able to inherit the kingdom of God. So that is why we have to preach to the poor, you know, preach the gospel, you know, heal people. That is it. That is why I said earlier on that, you know, everything that Jesus Christ has done on it, that we have the same power and ability to do it, because he has given us the grace to do it. And God will help us in Jesus' name. So let's look at Ephesians 4:8. Praise the Lord. He said, well, you know, he gave it to men, you know. So when we look, well, he said, why don't you look unto him alone? You know, Peter believed him and he got the best of his life. So that is it. We should always look at him. That is what he has come to do. So I think we should leave that one and go to the next one because of our time. He said he has promised to reward those who served him. That is a very big one, you know. And it is very important to know that when we serve God, you know, that no man can reward us. You know, that he is the one that can reward us, you know. Because when we serve him, we should not be thinking, oh, we are doing it for those so and so. No, we are doing it unto God. As soon as you begin to have the thought that when you are serving God, that human being is going to reward you, or because you are doing it for somebody else, then there's no blessing in it. Because he has promised to reward those who serve him. He will never forget all your labor of love. You know, those things when you see somebody who is in need and you make yourself available. You know, when you pray for somebody, you know, he will not forget. That is what he's saying here. So let's quickly look at John 12. John 12. This is John 12:31 now. Yes.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour.
Praise the Lord. Say, we are talking of the promise of God to reward those who serve him. Say, unless he can't fall into the on the ground and die, whatever we hold, you know, whatever maybe it's our integrity, whatever we think we have achieved, if we don't bring it down and dethrone flesh, you know, it will be impossible for us to serve God. And we also have to have it at the back of our mind that when we do anything for God, no man can reward us. That it's only God, because he has promised that he's going to reward us, that he will do it for us. And when we serve God, we should not look at other people. I usually tell people, I say, when it comes to the things of God, don't even bother about any other person. Just see yourself. You know, because sometimes it can be very difficult. I remember I've asked this question many times ago when people will come on to me and say, oh, why do you come to the church and you start cleaning the church? Then I said to them, put yourself in my shoe. If you are in my shoe and you come to the church, it's 9:30 and the foyer there is dirty, will you just look, see it and walk away? Nobody has ever given me an answer to that. So I said, I'm not doing it for anybody, but I'm doing it for God, because the Bible says, whosoever knows to do good and doeth it not is a sinner. So whatever we do, it's only God that can reward you. Just like we all know, there are some professions that we do that no money can pay us. If you are a doctor, if you are a nurse, if you work in the hospital, you are an ambulance driver. I told the carers who went on strike in a carrier of big thing, I said to them that they are selfish. They look at me. I said, yes. I said, look at these people you are paying, you are looking after, that you are fighting over 60 cents and you lock them out for 1 week. I said, put yourself in their shoe. They were looking at me, and thank God I had the boldness to let them. I said, just believe that there are some things that you do in life that money cannot pay you. But look at these people, they are helpless. Some of them are bedridden. Some of them cannot even feed. They depend on you and me to feed them. So why do we neglect them? I said, just go and do it. God is the one who can reward us, and God will reward each and every one of us in Jesus' name. So let's quickly look at maybe we should look at one more before we go. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:8. One more before we go. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Praise the Lord. Because the verse says, every man, you know, it's not a group thing. That's why I say, see yourself when it comes to the things of God. Don't the group effect. Sometimes it may not work. And sometimes, if you are not careful in the process of carrying other people along, you yourself, you will lose out. So just see yourself, and God will reward you. So let's look at the promises of the Holy of God. We all know this Christian call, you know, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do it. If you look at our handout here, it says, our Lord Jesus Christ knows that there are inherent limitations in human. Yes, you know, sometimes if we look at our own flesh, help us, we'll not be able to do it. That is why it's very important that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. That is why the Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are some things that we dare not do to our body. We can't abuse our body because the Holy Spirit dwells in it. And we also know that the Holy Spirit is the third person of God, you know. So let's quickly look at John 14:26, the promise of the Holy Spirit.
The Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Praise the Lord. That is why we have the Holy Spirit, you know. If we want to do Bible study, we ask Holy Spirit help us, you know. The Holy Spirit will help us to bring those things that Jesus Christ has taught us when he was here. He will help us to remember them so that we'll be able to do it, because there's no reward in knowing and not doing. So the reward is in the doing. So the Holy Spirit will help us to remember. The Holy Spirit will help us even when we are weak. The Holy Spirit will give us the grace even to do things that humanly looking that are impossible. That is why the Holy Spirit is very important. Let's look at Acts 1:8. We all know it. We don't, but we still want to go there. Acts 1:8.
The Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Praise the Lord. You know that, you know, remember, you know this story now. You know the apostles, they were there. That's where they were until they started witnessing to people, until the Holy Spirit came upon them. Then they received power, they received boldness, they received courage, they received, you know, everything they needed for the ministry. That is why the Holy Spirit is very important. Let's look at Romans 8:26. Still talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. To pray. Praise the Lord. You know, he says here that the Holy Spirit will teach us to pray. You know, we need the Holy Spirit to open our the spiritual eyes so that we'll be able to pray aright. So that is why it's very important when that to depend upon the Holy Spirit, and we should always ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, because, you know, like I said before, that there are lots of sin that by our own flesh, until we crucify flesh, which will be impossible for us to do those things, because ordinarily looking at it, we will not be able to do. We look at it, you look at yourself, you know, you begin to see yourself in the light which God has not seen you, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, God will now give you the grace to do those things that you think are impossible. The last one is very important, because we live in an end time now, and some people, they've even forgotten this promise. They've forgotten that Christ has promised to come back. They've forgotten about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is very important as a Christian, because that is the essence of our Christianity. After we might have been born again, the next step is to work the work of our salvation, so that we'll be able to reign with Christ. And it is very important. Unfortunately, most people, I remember talking to somebody about the second coming of Christ, and the person was telling me, oh, I don't think Christ is coming again. He is coming. We are going to see this morning that he's coming. He has promised, and just like we said before, that whatever he says he will do, we surely bring it to pass, that it is impossible for him to lie. So we are going to see that he is coming back, so that we have to walk the walk of our salvation with fear and tremble, so that just like we have read earlier on, that he has gone to prepare a place for us, so that we'll be able to reign in with him, because all these things that we have here on earth, they will go with the world. We are not taking anything to him except our soul. That is why it's very important for us to know that Christ is still coming back. Please, can we just look at Matthew 24:3? Somebody to open to Revelation 3:11, another person Revelation 22:7, another person Revelation 22:20, another person Revelation 16:15.
Matthew 24:3. The disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will this take place? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end, the completion, the consummation of the age?"
Praise the Lord. That is one promise that, you know, we should mark this one in our Bible and know that the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is true. So let's look at Revelation 3:11. All this scripture is not in our hand, but we can write it down. Revelation 3:11.
And there shall be no more cause, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and its servants shall serve him.
Praise the Lord. That's another promise that he's coming back. Revelation 3:11.
hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown.
Praise the Lord. Hold that one. What is it? The faith you have. Hold it fast, because there's no point after suffering here on earth and we are unable to reign with him. What's the essence? What's the point? Revelation 16:15. Revelation 16:15.
Mm-hmm. Blessed are those who are watching for me. Mm-hmm. For me, who keep their clothing ready so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed.
Praise the Lord. He said, blessed are those who what? Eh? Who kept watch for me and kept their garment ready. So he's talking to us, you know. Which, okay, I've been hearing this second coming for years, you know. He's still coming. He's coming. He has promised that he will come. So we should not forget that, because, you know, sometimes because of this, you know what, the people will come, the scientists, they come and prove things and say, oh, they don't think this is it. Let's hold on to the word of God. He has promised to come back and he will surely come. So for those of us who are just coming, we'll just be talking about the promises of God. And just like we've said, and the outline here, that is very important for us to know the promises, because if we don't know our rights, there's no how we can claim it. You know, if we listen to Brother Bayo's testimony last Sunday, you know, when they gave their own verdict, because he realized who he was in Christ, then he spoke and God back him up. If you don't know your rights, how can you claim it? And I said the last one is very important, because some of us, we've forgotten about the second coming of Christ. We think that we are going to finish and continue in this world that we are seeing. No. And that's why I brought those Bible references out. They are not in our bulletin, to still assure us that Christ is coming. And whatever he says he will do, he will surely do it. God cannot lie. It is impossible. He said he even honor his word more than his name. God will help us in Jesus' name. Any question, addition? Okay. So we are going to, first of all, thank God for what we have heard this morning. Ask God for grace so that you'll be able to, the Holy Spirit will help you to keep watch and keep your garment without soiling it, so that you'll be able to reign with him. Ask God for more grace so that we'll be able to separate ourselves to study the word of God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Almighty Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for your word that has come forth once again. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Lord, even as we have heard this morning of your promises, O Lord, Father, we ask for grace, O Lord. We ask for enablement, O Lord. We ask, O Lord, that you enable each and every one of us so that we'll be able to be benefit of that promise, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, even as we have heard this morning, O Lord, about your second coming, O Lord, Father, we ask for more grace, O Lord, so that we'll be able to watch and pray, so that we'll be able to keep our garments without soiling it, O Lord, in Jesus' name. So that you give us the grace, so that we inherit the kingdom of God, we inherit eternal life with you, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for answering our prayers, since we prayed in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.